Hi, my name is Neeraj and I work with Microsoft's SQL Server support team. In this presentation, we'll be looking at detailed steps to investigate and troubleshoot issues caused by SQL Server high CPU usage. So let's see what will be the agenda for this presentation. I've broadly classified the possible common causes for SQL Server high CPU into five categories, and the content of this presentation has been divided into two parts or sessions. Part 1 will deal with first two possible causes, which is excessive query compilation and optimization, and the second cause is unnecessary recompilation. In the part 2, I intend to cover the other possible causes, which are inefficient query plan, intra-query parallelism, excessive cache lookup time. Well, first up, we want to be sure it is the SQL process which is contributing to the CPU usage on the server. And the most reliable place to check this would be the performance monitor tool. The thumb rule says that if you've noticed sustained CPU usage over 80% over a period of time across all processors on the server, you then have a high CPU problem. To start with, you could monitor the below performance monitor object counters. From the processor object, you could select the privilege time, which is processor time spent in Windows or kernel mode. Processor time, overall, processor time spent in privileged plus user mode. Percentage user time, processor time spent in user or the application mode. The second object would be process. You could select all of the instances so that you are clearly able to identify each of the processes and the percentage of CPU utilization by them. From the processor object, you would select percentage privilege time, percentage processor time, percentage user time. If you notice sustained average values in excess of 80% overall on the server, and also see SQL Server process contributing to the high percentage, you have now confirmed that SQL is driving the CPU usage. Percentage privilege time should ideally be less than 4% to 5% on average. And if you notice it is consistently hovering about 10%, this calls for investigation on the Windows side. Typically, you would see percentage user time contributing to the process percentage processor time, which is indicative of CPU usage in user mode of the application. Besides the performance monitor object, there are several other tools which can help you identify high CPU. Starting SQL Server 2005, you could also have the performance dashboard, which can help you detect these kind of situations. Besides the performance dashboard, SQL itself exposes dynamic management views or DMVs to allow you to confirm the high CPU condition. You can also determine a high CPU pressure condition using sysdmos schedulers, where the column runnable tasks count is greater than zero. The other DMV could be DM exec requests, where wait underscore time column value is greater than zero with the wait type of SOS underscore scheduler underscore yield. Having confirmed that there is a high CPU problem by SQL Server process, we would then proceed by identifying what inside SQL is driving the processor utilization. If you're troubleshooting the issue live, as in if the issue is happening while you are trying to identify the problem, there is a high possibility where you may not be able to open a connection or may take several attempts to open one since the CPU may be too busy to honor the request. Starting SQL 2005, you are advised to use the DAC or dedicated admin connection in such situations. A quick way to find out if the CPU is being driven by queries, you can use the sysdm exec cache plans. Let's take a quick look at the query, which can help you look up the results and identify the top CPU queries. The query shown on the screen right now can help us identify the top 20 high CPU driving queries once you are able to establish a connection to SQL Server. A few things that you need to be aware of is that sysdm exec query stats gives us runtime CPU usage and not the compilation time that those queries may have spent. We also need to consider that the DMV shows us statistics that are rolled to a batch level. So if there are batches with multiple statements, you would then need to identify or drill down further to find the high CPU statement. But this query over here helps you to identify the top batches. And as we can see from the column list, it not only identifies the number of times that the batches run, it also gives us other information about the number of physical reads, the logical writes, the logical reads, and the most important of the columns, which is the total CPU used. We would also be getting the query plan and the query text or the batch text. So let's go ahead and run this sample. Although this SQL instance currently does not have any high CPU queries, the output will help us understand how we may be able to look at the several different values in each of these columns. As we can see, the output here shows us the queries with top CPU time queries in a descending order. So the one on top in this particular case shows us the batch text and also the statement text, and it also shows us the query plan being used by this top CPU query. Depending on the criticality of the situation and the business requirements, you can bring temporary relief by killing the process or the session which may be driving the CPU and stop further execution of the same from the application. This allows the rest of the application to function while you bought some time to drill down further into the culprit query or the culprit batch. We will now go back to the slide. So let's start to talk about the possible causes, starting with excessive query compilation and optimization. Compilation and optimization are CPU bound operations. One of the primary goals of the procedure cache is to reduce the number of compilations and promote planned reuse. One of the primary goals of the optimizer engine is to find the most optimal query plan based on the current state. There is always this interesting tussle between the procedure cache and optimizer, and both have been designed to even out or find a balance which respects the availability of resources in the environment. If you believe that it is not the runtime execution of the top CPU queries that may be causing the issue, the second place you could focus is this one, to check compilation time for the queries. One of the possible reasons for high number of compilations could be poor plan reuse due to queries not being parameterized. A quick note on parameterization. Simply put, you have a workload of queries which are similar and could do with reusing the same query plan. Optimizer is able to identify such queries based on certain factors and may decide for or against auto-parameterizing them. To start with, you could bring up the data from Performance Monitor and select the object SQL statistics and select the two counters for batch requests per second and SQL compilations per second. Another place where you can find out if compilation may be driving up the CPU usage would be to look up DMVs and look at the wait type. Look for the wait type of resource semaphore query compile. The example query shown here would help us find out queries or sessions which may be experiencing resource semaphore query compile wait time. I will now show you an example of a certain batch which is executed in a loop and which is not being parameterized. Although it may not show up as driving the CPU for MySQL instance, the example will clarify and help us understand on how one goes about identifying batches that are not being parameterized. Starting with SQL Server 2008, SQL stores a query underscore hash value which represents queries that are similar. Let's take an example of similar queries which are not being parameterized. In the example that we will be looking at, we are looking at a particular query. For example, I've encapsulated the select text in this particular batch and I'm concatenating the parameter value using a cast function. So basically, the query would run in a loop of 100 times wherein the query text will get the parameter values concatenated by using the cast function, and it will further go ahead and run that query using sp underscore execute SQL. Let's go ahead and run this particular batch. Having run this particular batch, we will now run this sample query to identify the batch from a particular workload which may not be getting parameterized. Now, if we look at this, okay, let me go ahead and rerun this using a grid format. The output of this particular DMV will help us understand the batches which may be good candidates for being explicitly parameterized. Now, from this output, queries that have a high number of entries value, let's say in hundreds or thousands, are excellent candidates for parameterization. If you look at the compile time and compile CPU attributes under the query compile tag of the sample XML query plan and multiply those values by the number of entries value for that query, you can get an estimate of how much compile time and CPU you can eliminate by parameterizing the query. Parameterizing the query would essentially mean that the query is compiled once and then it is cached and reused for subsequent executions. Let's go back to the previous window. Now, as you can see in our case, having run our example in a loop of 100 times, we see this particular batch at the top of the output. Now, to correct the situation, having run this particular DMV and having received this output, you have identified the particular batch which is a candidate for explicit parameterization, or at least some sort of correction. Now, to correct the above issue is pretty simple. So I'll be opening another query window. And over here, I will paste the same batch that we had earlier, only this time we will not be concatenating the parameter value which led to that particular query not being parameterized. So in this example, the modification that I have made is to use the placeholders or the parameters in the definition of this particular batch. So let's go ahead and first run a free proc cache so that we can and we will now go ahead and run the same batch. All right, so having executed that particular batch for 100 times, if we come back and run this same query again, we shouldn't expect the query that we ran, select employee ID, national ID number, that to show up as one of the unparameterized queries or as one of the candidates for parameterization. So let's go ahead and run this. And okay. So basically, the output that we see over here is we at least do not see the same batch showing up in this output as before. So having modified that batch to use parameters or placeholders, we allow SQL Server to parameterize the query and reuse the same plan instead of compiling it each time the query is executed. We'll now be going back to the slide. So coming back to this slide, the detection phase, you can look out for high ratio of SQL statistics counter SQL compilations per second to the batch requests per second as one of the indications of high compilations as an area to focus on. You can also check queries waiting for compile memory, which will show a wait type of resource semaphore query compile. Now, SQL Server 2005 throttles the number of concurrent compiles that can happen at any one time. Unlike 2000, which throttled solely based on the number of compiles, SQL 2005 throttles based on memory usage during compile. There are three gateways, semaphores, called the small, medium, and big gateway. When a request is received that must be compiled, it will start compilation. There is a special function called to yield during optimization, which also checks how much memory has been used by that compilation. Once the memory usage reaches the threshold for a given gateway, it will then acquire that semaphore before continuing. So, how does one go about resolving an issue where you have confirmed high SQL compilations per second? Well, one way to take care or even avoid such kind of an issue would be to explicitly parameterize queries in the application. You could also consider testing the forced parameterization option on the database properties. Going back to the resource semaphore query compile, small gateway has a fixed threshold for how much memory must be consumed before you enter it. Medium and large gateways have dynamic thresholds that vary depending on how much memory is available, how much is stolen, etc. If you encounter these weights, you need to first determine whether the medium and large gateways have dynamic thresholds that vary depending on how much memory is available. If you encounter these weights, you need to first determine whether medium or big gateway thresholds are artificially low. You can see the thresholds by running dbcc memory status command, which has a section for each gateway. If the medium and large gateway threshold values are relatively small, for example 1 MB for small, 4 MB for large gateway, there is a high possibility some other process or memory clerk has taken away a lot of memory. To allow queries to enter medium and large gateways without weights, you can either troubleshoot this other consumer if it has taken more away than it should, or increase the available memory on the server. For example, if memory pressure occurs from other source such as QE memory like sorts or query execution memory like sorts and hash operations, it reduces the amount of available memory for compiles and therefore can affect how much memory each query can get to compile before it is throttled. Tune these offending queries and you make more memory available for query optimizer. If there are no other cache or clerk which allocated itself much memory, check if memory clerk underscore SQL optimizer from memory status report shows a high value. This clerk is used for query compilation. It uses lots of memory when batches that are submitted for compilation require it. If you see the thresholds are fairly high, 5 MB for medium, 50 MB for big, from the dbcc memory status command on gateway section, then you probably have a bunch of queries that have very high compile time or use a lot of memory to compile. You can use showplan XML for query compile SQL trace event, which indicates compile time and memory that can be used to track those queries down. Again, one of the most common reasons are dynamically built queries which can be slightly different from one another, and this means that a new plan needs to be compiled for each version, thus the competition for memory. If this is a 32-bit environment and if there is a genuine memory crunch on the server, an easier option would be to move to a 64-bit where you can use a lot of virtual memory to compile these concurrently. Another possible cause for high CPU utilization could be unnecessary recompilation. So, what is recompilation? Optimizer forces the current cached plan to be discarded and a new plan to be compiled, means the decision to create a new plan is taken while in the middle of execution of the current compile plan, as opposed to compilation, which occurs because a plan could not be found in the first place. Reasons for recompilation can be broadly classified into two categories. Plan stability related reasons. A batch must be recompiled if doing so would result in incorrect results or actions. Stability-related reasons fall in two subcategories. A batch may reference many objects, such as tables, views, indexes, user-defined functions, and so on. If schemas of any of these objects have changed, then the batch that was compiled the last time would need to be recompiled again for statement correctness reasons. The other category would belong to set options. Some of these set options affect query results. If setting of such a plan reuse affecting set option is changed inside of a batch, a recompilation happens. The other reason is plan optimality related. Data and tables may change frequently if there are a lot of changes coming on those specific objects. In such cases, the batch would need to be recompiled for obtaining a potentially faster query execution plan. So how does one go about detecting the unnecessary recompilations? You could select the batch requests per second and SQL recompilations per second from SQL Statistics Performance Monitor object. You could also run a SQL Server profiler trace, and the profiler trace can show you events such as SP:recompile and SQL:recompile. Besides the performance monitor, you can also configure a profiler trace with events for SP:recompile, SQL:statement:recompile. These events would be particularly helpful in understanding the reason for recompilation. And one can also run a DMV, sysdm exec query stats, and you could particularly look for batches that have a plan generation number greater than 1. So let's put all of this together and find out how one can reduce recompilation. As slated on this slide, having identified the reason behind the recompilation, if the batches are being recompiled due to set options within stored procedure, it is better to set them at the connection level. This will help reduce the chances of the recompilation. If recompilations are occurring on temporary tables due to change in statistics, you could check if you can use table variables as an alternative. The drawback that one needs to consider while using table variables is that the cardinality for table variable is not maintained by SQL Server, and that would affect the queries. You could use a keep plan query hint to increase the threshold to be the same as that of a permanent table if you still want to use temporary tables. You could also use a query hint called keep fixed plan if you notice that the reason for recompilations are due to statistics changed on permanent tables. If you use this particular query hint, recompilations can still occur, but those recompilations will occur only to maintain plan stability reasons and not plan optimality reasons. One of the most common reasons that you may see high recompilations would be because the object names are not being fully qualified. A good practice is to always qualify the object with the schema in the ad hoc queries. As far as stored procedures or functions are concerned, there is no need to qualify these object names with the schema because the objects are qualified to the schema of the owner of the stored procedure or that function. Another common reason for recompilations are deferred compilations. Deferred compilations are typically caused because of interleaving of DML and DDL statements in a batch, or creating the DDL from conditional constructs like if statements. And one of the most obvious reasons for recompilations could be that the application is using recompile query hints. So you would need to identify those batches and possibly find out why the recompile query hints are being used and if those can be ignored. And here I have given some MSDN and blog links which you can further look up for details. This ends the video presentation for Procedure Cache Part 1. In Part 2, we will deal with the other common issues related to high CPU usage. Please feel free to post your questions, feedback, and suggestions. Thank you, everyone, and have a great day ahead.